Este es un podcast de Ibero 90.9. Las palabras pertenecen al aire. Y el viento no tiene por qué llevárselas. Con la llegada de los podcasts, la radio vive otra oportunidad. Esto es Segundo Aire. Conversaciones que el aire nos trajo, pero el viento no se pudo llevar. Todos los jueves, encuentra un nuevo episodio con lo mejor de la propuesta cultural y musical de Ibero 90.9.
En este episodio, le damos nueva vida a la conversación que Aldebarán, Feru y Nat Zamora, locutores de Ibero 90.9, tuvieron con Jojo Orme, mejor conocida como Heartworms, durante el programa Otra Vez Las 9. Heartworms habla sobre el lanzamiento de su álbum debut, Glutton for Punishment. La mezcla del post-punk con melodías etéreas y una sensación perturbadora que cosquillea el fondo de nuestros cerebros está presente en su música. Para este álbum, que se lanzará bajo el icónico sello inglés Spirit Wonderground, Heartworms colaboró de la mano con el productor Dan Carey, mente maestra detrás de varios de nuestros hits favoritos, como Honey Glaze, Wet Leg o Fontaine's DC. Simbolismos, oscuridad y feminidad en este segundo aire.
It's a perfect balance between dark and soft, and I think it falls into a musical genre that I call Vampire Witch.
Vampire Witch. Love that.
And brilliant. While I was listening to it, I kept thinking that if I had a cult as a part of the initiation ritual, I would play each one of the songs.
I wanted to ask you, because the first thing I noticed from your music is the art. I love like this eerie kind of vibe, like dark, very feminist also. Do you think that when you're making your music, the art or the aesthetic comes to mind? Does that play a role, or is like something completely different?
Whenever I'm writing anything, I always see an image, because the image that is created in my brain then provokes me to go to a next melody or find the correct synthesizer or some sort of, you know, beat. It's always, if it's like if I was walking down a cobbly street, or if there was, I don't know, like a cold hand on my shoulder, something. But sometimes I have no idea what's going on and it just comes out, and it really depends.
Okay.
And I want to know, how do you feel about this first album, this full-length album, that you have the opportunity to work with Dan Carey and Speedy Wonderground, one of our favorite label right now? And I think that it's a huge thing to work with him for your first album. It was difficult working with him. How is the process of creating this new album with all those ideas that you have in your head, putting in something real, in real sound? What can you tell us about this?
I'm not afraid of him. I'm not intimidated by him, and neither is he. It's like, you know, perfectly wonderful. For Extraordinary Wings, when I wrote the demo, there was no chords to it. It was just kind of skeletal, and you know, there was something missing, and I was actually going to throw it away. I wasn't really a big fan of it.
Okay.
And then Dan was like, okay, I've got these chords in my head. I was like, okay, cool. He put them down, and it just became this most beautiful, just like painful kind of, I don't even know how to explain it. It was just beautiful. And you've heard the song, so.
When we listened to the first single, Jacked, it was like more aggressive, right? It has this amazing riff that is stuck in your head. But I listened to Extremely Wings. It was like something calm and beautiful. Your voice is amazing there. So it's like a very different kind of songs in the album, right? Aggressive and also peaceful. I don't know.
The title, Glutton for Punishment, suggests that paradox of craving something harmful. So how did this idea resonate with your life and inspire the record?
There's so many things that I went through, and it's caused me to kind of depend on it for inspiration, but also live and, you know, like flashbacks kind of drive me to be better and do this and that, you know. It's like we need history to learn from history, if that makes sense. Like Glutton for Punishment kind of, you know, also came with, you know, the punishment of constantly reminding yourself about it. In a way, you enjoy it, in a way.
Right? Like growing pains.
I wanted to ask you, have you used Tumblr? Did you, at some point in your life, use Tumblr?
Yes. Of course you did.
It was a dark part of my life.
I think every girl has, like, dark past, and every dark past, there's Tumblr.
Yes.
Every dark past leads to Tumblr.
I weirdly miss it. I miss Tumblr. I can't go back.
Talking about Tumblr, has, like, social media impacted your aesthetic or, like, your creative process in making your music, like negative or positive, in every
definitely
which way?
More negative than positive, mm-hmm, because of quite addictive personality. Mm-hmm. Say that I did have social media as, and I did use it as a device of trying to make myself mean something, and then I realized that no, I can actually just figure everything out without social media and then like present it well on social media, so it kind of balances it out. Mm-hmm. I really hate social media. I'm you know, I wish
it's
I didn't
horrible.
Have to use it.
It's horrible.
But you know, it's trying to find balance, which is really difficult, but I think it can do good. You know, you can learn good stuff. It's just you've gotta know not everything is true when you see it.
If I saw way back your art in Tumblr, I think we would have reposted
it. It would be on my wall.
It would be like my banner, like my profile banner. And the first thing I noticed was like a symbol in the album. What does that mean? And I also saw in your background, you have it.
Oh, yeah.
It is
a symbol on my hat. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a star in a circle. And I also, it's like in Islam, it's like a lucky star, you know, 8-pointed star is lucky. So I love symbolism, and you know, there's so many different types, but it's also easy to draw. Mm, and yes. I paid my friend Ingrid £100 to come up with the logo and a font. She just sent me these stars. I was like, oh, this is so great, because you can just draw it, you know, and then everyone can just draw it. They feel like doodling, because you know, I love doodling and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just cool having a star, and a stark star with no crazy theatrical kind of things on stage. You just have the flag, is beautiful, you know, and that's why I like it.
Mm.
That's amazing. It's like a great tattoo,
easy
one. So Jojo, we asked you before starting this interview about a song that you want to present for us, and you answered with a lot of energy, Australia by The Shins.
Yes.
So why this song?
Well, it was the first song I heard from The Shins, and Heartworm, my name, comes from one of their albums, and they are one of my favourite bands in the whole entire world. James Mercer is a lyricist, a lyric genius, and I wish one day that I will meet him.
Yeah, have you seen a movie called Garden State?
No.
Well, there's a part, it's played by Natalie Portman, and they are in love with The Shins, and there's like a tiny little monologue where she says listening to The Shins changes your life, and the whole movie, it's no plot, just vibes and Shins music.
So no plot, just vibes, that's the best.
Will love it. You will love it. So can you present the track as if you were the host of this program show?
I am going to play you Australia by The Shins.
Cuando le preguntamos antes de empezar con ella al aire en este último bloque del programa qué canción le gustaría presentarnos a la mitad de la entrevista, ella muy segura contestó Australia de The Shins.
En vez de una rola suya.
En vez de una rola suya. Entonces eso nos pareció muy interesante.
Excelente.
Y le preguntamos el por qué había decidido que escucháramos esta canción, y dijo que porque, bueno, fue la primera canción que escuchó de The Shins, una de sus bandas favoritas, y de hecho el nombre de su proyecto lo adopta de uno de los álbumes de The Shins, no el que viene, en el que viene esta canción, que ese es Winsing the Night Away, pero sí de la misma banda, y entonces ahí es donde podíamos encontrar quizás el génesis de ella haciendo música bajo este concepto. Y entonces, pues ahí empezamos la plática.
Sí, estábamos platicando también de que su nuevo disco que pudimos escuchar ayer, nos recordaba mucho a esta vibra como de bruja vampira, y yo
es
le decía,
una super bruja vampira.
Es la más bruja vampira, y le decía que si yo tuviera un culto como parte del ritual de iniciación, pondría el disco de principio a fin. Entonces, una vez que salga, por favor, piense en ese escenario. También le preguntábamos sobre el símbolo, que es una estrella que está en la portada del álbum, qué significaba, y nos decía que es un símbolo que usaba en su sombrero. En Islam, es una estrella de la suerte y que es fácil de dibujar, entonces que le pagó 100 libras a su amiga para que le hiciera un diseño para el disco y terminó siendo una estrella. Le parece muy lindo, cree que las personas se lo pueden dibujar en la piel, tal vez tatuárselo.
Tuvimos toda ahí una conversación de girlies, que pues sí, todo el mundo tuvo que pasar por una Tumblr era y pues sí, eso también le ha ayudado a inspirarse. Y bueno, todas las redes sociales como que tienen un impacto negativo y pues, sí, mucha...
¿Pero qué ha aprendido a usar ese balance? Como de para publicar, bueno, para publicitar su música, pero también no clavarse mucho con lo que hay ahí.
Nos contó que no consume el contenido de redes sociales, pero sí lo tiene que usar pues para promocionar sus canciones, pues ni modo, del capitalismo de hoy en día.
Así pasa. Yo le preguntaba acerca de cómo fue trabajar con Dan Curry y esta disquera de Speedy Wonderworld, donde están ahí los Fonte, donde encontramos a muchísimas bandas que nos gustan actualmente, y cómo fue trabajar con él para un primer material discográfico, y nos decía que había mucho respeto mutuo, que no se sentía tampoco ella como intimidada por la presencia de Dan, que sí sabemos que es un gran productor, sino que más bien como que existía este gran balance entre también el respeto del trabajo, pero pues que te deja ser libre también en cuanto al proyecto. Y nos decía que una de las canciones que viene en el álbum, que es Extraordinary Wings, que ella llegó como con la idea, pero había unos acordes que tenía Dan girándole en la cabeza cuando escuchó pues sí, como que la idea en crudo, y dijo, vamos a ponerlos aquí porque están súper chido, sí creo que va a llevar a la canción a un siguiente nivel. Y cuando ella lo escuchó dijo, es que este cuate de verdad sabe lo que está haciendo. Entonces prácticamente es una, pues sí, como de alguna forma una bendición poder trabajar con él para tu primer álbum, dejándote también ser libre, ¿no? Como que hay un excelente balance con eso. Y bueno, pues sigue todavía por acá con nosotros, entonces vamos a continuar con esta entrevista. So Jojo, that was our quick translation of our previous talk. So... did you understand a little bit?
Sombrero.
The most important thing.
Yeah.
the obsession about planes, about military also. Mm-hmm. And we listened to this song, Warplane, about an amazing history that you felt like moved about this history. So what can you tell us about this and how military and planes form part of this album?
I love history in general, and I guess military history comes out a lot because of, you know, it comes through my music and it's kind of a focus. And knowing stories that are unheard and kind of being able to tell them. The William Hugh Gibson Gordon story came through a friend called Pete, and he made me a Spitfire badge made from an actual plane of William who crashed from a dogfight in the sky. And I wanted it to be incorporated into a Warplane and the music video. So Warplane was originally about a dogfight, but I had no idea it would connect to a story that I'll hear later on down the line. So it was kind of fate that made it become that for that. But I love the beauty and the form and the art of an aircraft, a vintage aircraft, not modern aircraft. Because it's so beautiful how something so beautiful in the sky will then become rubble and then broken and forgotten. Mm-hmm. So it's also that too. And, you know, my obsession for military history, but also constant reminder that, you know, there's history because we have to learn from it, and wars happen all the time and we have to learn from that too. And people who choose to forget it are the ones who might repeat it, you know, and it's people need to people think I love war because I'm this and that, you know, I like my military history, but it's not. It's yes, a fascination or some kind of interest, but it's more about the fact that it's also so broken and
yeah, for the personal stories, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, how history keeps repeating itself.
Yeah.
And also, yeah. I think your songs seem to prioritize emotion over lineal storytelling. So how do you approach transforming fragmented memories and emotions into cohesive tracks like this one?
It's a lot of the lyrics that come through from things that I remember as a kid are words my mum have said or things my mum has done, and you know, kind of repetitional words or things that you don't really let go. And I when I write an instrumental and I write a demo, it's when I'm writing the lyric or saying the lyric, it's on the point. I'm not like planning it. I'm like, oh, this should go here. I'm just there saying words or sounds, and then I fit those sounds with actual words and then actual meanings, and then at the end the song will then have a meaning, most of the time anyway. So.
That's we're speechless.
We're speechless.
I thought you were like, that's rubbish.
No.
No.
I was like, oh no.
No.
Yeah, we don't believe you.
No.
No.
You just casted a spell on us.
Yeah.
Because you're a witch.
It's
and we're running out of time, but we want to ask you about the sound, because it's a little bit electronic for some moments, and also with the guitars, these electric guitars, very dark. So how did you balance this kind of different types of music, different genres, like post-punk, but also like maybe sometimes shoegaze in a little bit. So how did you mix all these genres in this album?
Do you want my honest opinion?
Yeah.
I don't know. I literally don't know. I just did it, and the kind of choices of the songs that came through, they were like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Oh yeah, we can make that into that. It's... there's literally like no explanation of how I did it. I know that the post-punk was something that people wanted to put me in, and I knew I wanted to get out of it. So I guess that was kind of the driving force behind it, is to not just make jangly guitars, but also try out melodies and more together structure. I don't know. I don't want to say it's together, but... you know, like not erratic structure like I would normally do, but...
So would you say that in the future, maybe the new music that you are working out is going to sound very different?
Not post-punk.
And maybe another kind of instruments, another kind of sounds, another kind of genre?
Definitely, I'm finding what I'm most good at. Mm-hmm. So just expect... don't expect anything, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that is really healthy to think about that.
Yeah.
Don't think a lot of that.
Yeah.
It's healthy not to think.
It's healthy not to think.
Not to think.
Yes. Just do. Just do.
Just do.
Thank you so much, Jojo, for being here with us in Ibero 90.9 FM. We are big fans of your project. We just knew your music, and we are going to stuck on it. We are going to play a lot. And, well, just to say goodbye, let's listen Extraordinary Wings. Please, you be the one who will be introducing the song.
I'm Heartworms, and this is my recent single, Extraordinary Wings.
Thank you so much, Jojo.
Thank you.
We love you. Thank love you. And respects. Please come to Mexico. Please come to Mexico.
I want to.
Yeah.
I need to find the money, but then I will.
We're going to pay our ticket, so yeah. Maybe that's the way.
Thank you so much. You're absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
Gracias. Para más conversaciones con artistas que marcan la vanguardia musical, escucha Ibero 90.9, abierto las 24 horas del día en el 90.9 del FM y en www.ibero909.fm. Si pasa otra cosa buena, les aviso por aquí y le damos un segundo aire. Para más conversaciones con las artistas que marcan la vanguardia musical, escucha Ibero 90.9 FM, al aire en la Ciudad de México las 24 horas del día. El guión de este episodio fue escrito por Isabel Allensi y editado por Daniel Maldonado. La voz es de Daniel Maldonado, Elvis Noelvis. La postproducción es de Pepe Macías. Segundo Aire es un podcast que da nueva vida a las conversaciones que estuvieron al aire. Hasta la próxima.
Más podcasts, música y radio en vivo en Ibero 99.fm.